limit the time. And I think it's in this grace when a man is asked to limit the time and he doesn't do it, just go over, you know. And that's why I quit. I wish you hadn't quit, or I wish to God you had quit, you know, whichever. I'm supposed to share with you about the family. I'm an authority on what not to do. Okay? I can tell you what not to do, okay? One thing that I say, don't ever tell your wife.
How many guys married to me? My soul. Don't ever tell her to submit to you. Oh, man, don't do that, man. You're supposed to submit to me. And then you're awfully bad in it with the scriptures. It's a lovely type of church, didn't you, boy? But you're not doing that.
No. The first commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ, whether she submits herself or not. Women respond, you know this, emotionally. We respond logically. We can explain everything, can't we? But we don't know anything. Sometimes wife is going to cry and spell. I don't know why they cry. You don't know either. Only God knows. One day my wife was in the kitchen. I went in, I looked at her, I thought, oh, here it comes. She's about to cry. And I put my arm around her and said, honey, what's wrong?
She said, I don't know.
I said, are you happy? She said, yeah. I said, you sad? She said, yeah. I said, why are you crying? She said, I don't know why you feel that cry. I put my arm around her. I said, I understand. I'm going to forgive you for lying like that. I don't understand why she's crying. She doesn't understand why she's crying. And then she cried so hard that I was crying. I don't know why I'm crying. Regardless of what society says, God established the home. I don't care what they say, they may give it to me. God established the home. God established marriage. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It wasn't Eve and Yvette, okay? And I'm getting sick and tired of hearing some Christians say that they're born like that. That's a lie. Don't tell me. Don't you ever repeat that. If I be near you and you said that, I'm going to rip your face off to the glory of God. God doesn't make anybody like that. They're not born that way either. You equate God with sin. God established the home. Fellas, you ready for this?
You're the head of the home. Why do you act like the tail? Why don't you just flat stand up?
Now, when I got saved back in 1961, that night, I was weeping. I was sorry for all my sins. And when the first thing that I said to my wife, even in my ignorance, honey, I've never been married before. I've never been a husband or a father. I don't know how. Will you please help me? Do you know a woman can tell you how to make her happy? She can tell you what pleases her. You don't know. I don't know. That's why we make such a big mess. Trying to figure it out. And things don't make her happy. The most important thing you can spend with your children is time. God says in His Word, in Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord, verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Do you see what God said about Abraham? God can say the same thing about us. Brethren, there's some things that you just don't compromise about in the home. And that's sin. You don't compromise with sin. You don't send your kids and your wife to Sunday school and church. You take them. You go.
When I was growing up, we had no choice. Dad and Mama said, you going? I don't feel like going. So don't make no difference. You die in church, but you're leaving here.
You're not staying here. And when you get to the place that you can't go, then you'll be in another house and be your own.
They stood up. My dad was a fourth grade education. North Carolina farm boy. Didn't have all that education. He could barely read and write.
But he had some horse sense. He called that stable thinking.
And we knew who he was. We didn't have to ask anybody who he is. He was there.
And he took the leadership. And I'm so glad about that. And he didn't know anything about child abuse either.
He beat the snot out of me.
And I said, you know, he could tell me he did it because he loved me. But this old man's crazy. You got to beat the daylights out of you saying somebody loves you.
But you know what he did? He's with the Lord now. He used to tell me, go to the room and wait for me. And I'd go and I'd wait half an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And then he finally come in, he talked to me. He give me a lesson in Negro history. That was when we were Negroes before we got to be African American. And we were colored, and we were black, and all that other crazy stuff. But then he sat down and talked to me. I would much rather he beat me than talk. He'd tell me about when he was growing up, he had to go to the farm, they put him out of school, you know, go get the crops in and all that, go to work in the dark, come home in the dark. And he had to work long and hard to buy my clothes, and he talked, and they were expensive, and he didn't want me to tear them up, and he wasn't going to tear them up, so take them all off. And anything that get in the way, he'd go hit it. He did. Then I used to run around the room and holler and scream like he beat me. He hadn't even touched me. But he said, you're running tired. I'm not going to chase you until I lay down. It dawned on me. I was so tired when I laid down. I couldn't get up. I thought he was going to kill me. And then when I got older, he had I'm losing my breath. And it dawned on me there's a fool in this room. And it ain't him. You know what I did? I ran to him one time and fell on the down at his knees and hugged him. And he was flag plotting me to a very well. And he hit his leg. And the light went on. Hey, he stopped hitting me. And it dawned on me, whenever he rips me, hug him. You know, I brought that over to my Christian life. When God ripped me, hug him. Hey, you hugged him lately? He does it because he loves us. Our Heavenly Father does that. Now, the Bible tells us no chastening is pleasant. It's grievous and hurts. But God does it because he loves us. He wants us to discipline. Christian life is a disciplined life, gentlemen. And just tell your family, hey, I haven't been good. They know you blow it. They know they're not stupid. They know you mess up. Tell them. How many of you got a wife that loves to spend money? Let's see here. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to hide what I ask you. Do you love to earn money to give to it? I enjoy that. That's why I give $5 every 3 years. Look, take your shot and go with her. Hello? I'm still here? Take your shot. When we go to the mall, I thank God for one place in the mall. Those benches where they got sitting in. Thank God for those men. I can sit down and watch you do it all these different places. Let me tell you what wives have. They intimidate and manipulate. This happened to me. She said, honey, would you take me to the mall? I said, I really don't want to go to the mall. She said, You don't want to take me to the mall? I said, that's not what I said.
You know?
I said, no, I said, I didn't want to go. That's what you said. You don't want to take me to the mall. I said, no, sweetheart. Don't listen to me. You don't want to take me. That's okay. That's all right. I said, honey, don't do that. Let's go to the mall. I don't want to go.
You know about that, don't you, brother? That's intimidation, manipulation.
I said, honey, please, let's go to the mall. I don't want to go. I wouldn't go with it after nothing. I don't want to be seen speaking. I said, oh, please, honey. Please, let's go to the mall. Well, if it'll make you happy, I'll go with you. So we get in the car and we go to the mall. She gets out and we walk around, and I couldn't do a whole lot of walking. I got arthritis real bad. I've got fibrosis of the spine. I've got tendonitis. I've got 4, 5, 6, 7 vertebrae. I've got spurs. I've got tendonitis. I've got 2 herniated discs in my neck. I've got brain surgery. I've got aneurysm in the brain stem. I've got all kinds of things wrong with me. I can't walk very far. So I sit down. She said, "Let me see." Well, while she's in the store looking, I'm sold when you sit down. See, all this is cracked in my back. Somebody sit down beside me and look at all mean and ugly. I said, "Yeah, he's rough, ain't he?" "Yeah, I don't want to go to start talking to him about that." Then I look at my wife, though. She's in the one store. She goes, and I go, she says, so I sit there a little while, and I get under conviction, and I go inside this furniture store. And she said, "Honey, isn't it a beautiful sofa?" I said, "It sure is. Wouldn't it look nice in our living room?" I said, "We just bought furniture in the living room." She said, "Well, look at this one. Wouldn't it look nice in the living room?" I said, "I guess so." I said, "Why should we buy this?" She said, "You don't want our home to look nice." I didn't say that. So she walks away. I called the salesperson, "Come in here." She said, "Sofa." I didn't want to go to the mall the first day. Now I'm negotiating buying a sofa. And the guy tells me, "You can pay for it in 30 days, blah, 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 the living and all that." I wound up getting the thing, carrying it home. Okay? The guy brings it a few days later. She told me how beautiful it is in the living room. She said, "Oh, thank you. Look at what you did for our home." I didn't want to go to a place in the first place. Manipulation. She maneuvered me and then thanked me for doing something I didn't want to do in the first place. That's the way they do that. They do that, fellas. They do.
You know the classic passage on a family? Ephesians 5. Let's turn it. Ephesians 5. Now, Ephesians 5 presupposes something. It presupposes that you're saved. Okay? Verse number 18. "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Now, brother, it takes the power of the Spirit of God to do the rest of it. You can't do it by yourself. You can start out doing it by yourself, and God knows you're wrong way. You get angry and you get angry and probably leave home. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Before you get to that wife, submit to your husband, it tells us to submit yourself one to another. And brethren, let's face it. You can have some good ideas until you open your mouth and tell somebody, especially your wife. And I've done that more than one time. I had a great idea. Fantastic. Let's go do it. Now open my mouth and tell her. And she said, "What can you say up with that?" I said, "I heard it somewhere." I ain't going to tell her it was me. I had a wonderful idea. You do too. Well, listen, somebody has to make the kind decision in the home. Sit down and talk to her about it. They'll just say, "Well, I'm the head of the house, and I'm doing it whether you like it or not." Oh, boy. Oh, man, that is dangerous. That's like pouring gasoline on an oil fire. But
Don't do that. Go home and talk. Talk to her. The number one cause of divorce in America is not another man, another woman, or money. It's a lack of communication. Can you imagine two people married to each other for years and don't even talk to each other? What kind of communication? I tell you what, that's like having communication with God. You don't talk to him and he doesn't talk to you. There it is. If I don't have fellowship with the Lord, I don't have any fellowship with my family. If my wife is not with me in my ministry, I don't have any ministry. I go home and quit. How can I start to tell people about marriage and home and family when mine is all whatever? And the children. You ought to let the children know that you love each other. When the children know that you love each other, they'll love you. They're happy. Not all the time, my little girl, she's not little anymore. She's grown. Matter of fact, Monday's her birthday, and I got to get something to carry back. There's no more than a rock from New York, from this country, California, territory. My wife was in the kitchen washing dishes, and had her hands in the water. I snuck up behind her, nibbled on the ear, kissed on the lips. And she was, you know, like she didn't like it. I don't know her, like I didn't think. And I hid it again. And my little girl was standing in the doorway. I didn't know she was standing there. Look.
Do it again, Dad.
I didn't know it. But when kids know that you're happy, the kids are happy. Now, you don't have to have a whole lot of things, okay? Let's get rid of that. You know, man, we were poor when I was growing up. We got a whole lot of things. Man, we were so poor, there were 34 zeros between T and R. Man, we were poor as Joe's turkey. How poor was Joe's turkey? He had to lean against the fence post to gobble. That's poor, brother. We didn't have a whole lot of things, but what we had, we appreciated. We had some values. You learned how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please, and thanks. I say it to younger people now, and they look at me like I'm crazy. Because I say yes, sir, and a little 45-year-old kid said, no, I ain't. I can't do anything with him. I say, let me have him beside me. Let me take him to him. Don't you put your hands on me.
No, I won't.
The sad part is these kids belong to Christians. Rude, impolite, you can't even talk to no snotty old young'uns. Man, that's your fault. That's your home. That's your fault, mister. I'm the king of my castle. Is that why your wife always crowning you with something? Respect is earned. It's not demanded. You don't demand respect from anybody. And the sad part is, you've got trouble in the home, you won't deal with it, and you bring it to the local church and expect the pastor to straighten it out. No, God gave the kids to you in your home. You do it. Submitting yourself one to another. Here's the one we beat our wives over here with.
Submit.
The Bible says submit. Well, wait a minute. Before you get out of the verse, verse 5, you skipped 21, didn't you? Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Brother, we like to assert our position, don't we? I'm the man in my house. Is that all right with you, honey? I pastored for 18 years. And maybe some fellas would come to me and say, if you straighten your wife out of mine, I'd be all right. And I knew what the trouble was. I said, bring you and your wife some to me. I have an appointment. And now, what are we going to do? We're going to let her talk. And you'll say a word till she's finished. And I took a giant box of Kleenex tissues and set them right in front of her on the corner of her desk. So I know she was going to start crying. I said, now listen, don't say anything. Listen to her. And she started to cry and tell about the things that he did and the things he didn't do, and he raised up. She said, I'll be quiet. Let her talk. And then after she finishes, she said, honey, I didn't know you felt that way. I said, did you ever talk to her and ask her how she felt? No, I haven't. I don't know. Well, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you do that? You don't need me to tell you that. You don't need me. You decide to be all amorous and romantic and then fighting all day and go to bed and expect everything to be all right. If she's pretty, you made her that way. That's your fault. And after a while, it won't really matter no way you get older than her. It won't make you a bigger guy. I'm just as good a man now as I was when I was 25. Well, you weren't worth a nickel at 25. The home. This can happen among saved people in a home, among Christians. Listen, therefore, because if the head of the husband, the head of a wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Is there anything that Christ did not do or will not do for the local church? Huh? Is it? And it tells us to do the same. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for the church. Did you die for your wife? Well, not until I get supper. Ain't about 50 supper. Now, brother, consider this. What does Christ do for the church? Brother, this is a tremendous responsibility. As far as I'm concerned, this is a command from God. And I don't care what happened before I got married, or whether mom and dad were together, or whatever, raising orphans. That has nothing to do with it. Some of you got problems. You used to live with a woman before you got married, and before you even got saved. And then you got saved, and she got saved, and you. That can be corrected. Just tell God. Some of you have been divorced and remarried. God hates divorce, but God does not hate the divorcee. That's a place of service for you in the local church. Is not the pastor or deacon, but you can do something for God. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Don't do that. Just get busy. Get in the book. Get in the Word of God. There's plenty of areas of ministry. Out on the street, street preacher, on the corner, passing out gospel tracts. Soul winning, in the nursing home. All of these areas. They need men. And God will make you what you're not. You really will. I marvel at things that God has done in my life. All the dumb stuff that I've done before I was saved and since I've been saved. God's corrected that. But you got to talk. You talk to each other. You must. And you want me to see the only way to stop? When you go home, tell your wife that you haven't been doing it. Tell her something back home from this time. Tell her, so honey, I want you to help me. If she survived that and I have a heart attack, you'll have a brand new wife. And your children, tell the kids, you've been mean and nasty and ugly and fantastic. They know that. Amen? Amen, old me. You've been walking around like a tyrant in the house. Be fivefold, father. I smell the blood of an Englishman. You know, that kind of thing. That's cyclops, you know. Here it is. Husband. That's all on, isn't it? Husband. Love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's all on. God, I want to do that, but I can't. And I don't know how, but I want you to teach me and watch you go to work. I tell you some of the things that he'll do. You know the little things that irritate you with your wife and family? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Really good figure, don't it? That if anybody in town can make me mad, it's my wife. You really should do it, doesn't it? God will do that. He'll let her keep on doing that. And he'll teach you how to keep your big mouth shut and watch him do it. And then after a while, when I get to the place, she'll come to me. She said, "Hey, what happened to you? You used to give me a hard time when I said something.
Move your golf clubs. Put your socks in the drawer where they're supposed to be, and you walk all over the place fussing for them, looking at them in the washing machine and in the dryer and the dirty clothes. And the drawer's full of socks." I've done that.
"Woman, where are my socks? I've looked all over the place. I can't find them. I looked in the dryer. I looked in the dirty clothes." She said, "Did you try that drawer in the dresser in there?" I said, "What you mess me up for putting them in the drawer? They ain't supposed to be in there." She said, "I've been there and done that, right?" "Yeah. Well, that's what they're supposed to be. If you don't know, ask them." "Hey, by the way, it won't hurt you to vacuum the house. It won't hurt you to wash the clothes. It won't hurt you to dry the clothes. Or if the dryer's broke, put them in the car, put them on the laundromat." Hello, you guys still here? So boy, I'll be glad when this session is over. Well, we're supposed to be talking about husband and wife and the family. Huh? Take her out to dinner. Take her out to dinner. I told Roy, he went down here, "Honey, there's a new place in town. I'm going to take you to it. You can get there." "Where?" I said, "The Golden Arches." She didn't know it was McDonald's. I did. She got down and she said, "Is this it?" I said, "Yeah." I can't afford to take her. "Brother, I can't afford not to take my wife. And it's other than Taco Bell or Hardee's or any of those places. Take her to a nice restaurant. If you have to save your change, put it somewhere in there. Take her. She appreciates it. And tell her how good she looks. Don't tell her, 'You look like an old bag in a new sack.' Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't tell her that. It's just the way you say it. She get off, you go with her, she shops, put on a dress. She said, 'Honey, how you like to fit?' You say, 'Well, you know what, honey? That dress don't do nothing for you, but you showed me something for that dress. You know what you're supposed to? You didn't like the dress, you take it off.' So don't tell her it looked like 10 pounds of flour and a 2-pound bag. Don't do that. Well, I'm just being honest. Well, keep your mouth shut. Don't do that. You know how we are, fellas. You know full well how we are. Husband, love your wife. As Christ loved the church, he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Wife and I were sitting there, we're watching TV, I have some dumb program. And all of a sudden, I looked, she was staring at me. I used over the side, put my arm around his husband. She said, "Look at me. How fat I am. Look at my hands are wrinkling. My hair is turning gray." I said, "See her?" I took a kiss of him. I said, "You know the wrinkles in your hand on account of me. The gray hair is on account of me. I put it there. And I love you for it. You think I wasn't top dog for 3 or 4 days around the house? Oh, man. I was, brother. I really was. It's not what you say, fella. It's the way that you say it. You may not have a whole lot of money, but go by the store and buy one flower and write a little card, a little note. But stick little notes in the refrigerator in the freezer department. Write a note that it may be cold in here, but when I think about you, it warms my heart. Things like that work. That's the stopping faith. Well, read a magazine and give an article out of that copy. Don't put your name on it. Don't put the other guy's name on it. Just give it to him, you know. You're in the store. Buy a card. It doesn't cost very much. You don't have to have a whole lot of money. It makes for a good relationship. Does Christ care about all the little details in my life and your life? Well, we should do the same with each other. And then, you know, this thing is contagious. If it catches on with you, it catches on with some other fellows. They want to know how in the world it happened. Well, what happened? Like a lady, they were neighbors, and they both had 2 teenage boys, so good friends.
And every morning a woman got up when about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, the teenage boy next door was always up there. She could see right out the window. And so she asked the friend of the day, how is it that every day that I get up, I don't care what time it is, you're up and your son's up? She said, no problem. She said, I couldn't get my boy out of the bed. She said, I get mine up every morning. She said, how is it? She said, I just open the bedroom door and let the dog in.
Well, how do I go up?
She said, the cat shrieks on the foot of his bed.
So that worked, man. Let's get him up out of the bed.
Beloved,
taught men to love their wives
as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
How many guys are preaching in the
hungry
to see?
Let me ask you something.
You ever take your wife with you? Why not? She don't know how to bait the hook. Show her. She's scared to leave anything on that hook. She do it for us. You guys go golf and play golf?
And you gotta take your wife with you.
Take your son with you. You ought to. All of this makes for the. So my dad didn't do it for me. So what? You're a dad now. So what?
We don't have to dwell on past
behaviors.
You can rise above that. Brother, you don't have to be that way. I mean that. Because I go somewhere, I always carry my wife. Oh, here's another thing. Whenever I'm out of town and I go shopping for my wife, I made a terrible mistake once. Make that one more. I went in the store and I saw some dresses that I liked, and I asked the lady to help me pick out a dress for my wife.
You know my wife?
You've been talking to her, right? Don't ever do that.
If it's puking green,
carry it home. Correct somebody bark on it, you carry it. And say, I picked it out myself, honey.
I don't care if you may not like it, but you'll thank you for it.
I did that the hard way.
I bought a dress one time and told her, who helped you pick it? I said, the lady in the store.
You should see the look in her face.
Never do that again.
I never do that again.
I learned the hard way.
Don't ever ask another woman to help you pick out something for your wife. You do it yourself, okay? And buy her a dress. Not tube tops, not halters. And make your little girl put on a dress, okay? And these boys with braided hair, I want to smack his head off. Black boys and white boys, braiding their hair. I think they got a problem with their gender. They don't know what they are. And the women are cut the hair so short, you can smell their brains. You stand up and tell them, no, you're not going to go. You tell your daughter, you're not going out in the street with me with that stuff on. Showing your belly button, you know. Show and tell. You show yours and I show you mine. A lot of these come out of Christian homes. If I do that, my daughter leaves home. Tell her, bye.
Bronze or plate. Hanging on the wall.
Say, so that's cool. No, that's not cool. That's just being a man. She'll love. She'll appreciate you for it.
When my kids, they're not kids anymore. They're all grown.
They did a thing for me and my wife the Saturday before Mother's Day. Boy, it blew me out of the water. You know what they say?
It's because we love you, Daddy.
They had friends of ours come from all parts of the country to be there, had a band for that wedding.
I'm not used to that.
That wiped me out. You might think what you're doing now got no effect,
but you look further down the road.
They'll appreciate you. And they'll let you know it. All because you did what God said.
Gentlemen, you cannot improve on what God has done.
It takes time.
It's work.
Hard work.
You know how to spell success in the Christian life?
W-O-R-K. That's the way to spell success. In the family. And I'm a living witness of what God will do. We have 5 daughters,
4 daughters, and 1 son.
All my children saved.
nine grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. I thought maybe the great-grand, after being third the generation of me, they'd be better than I were, but they're worse than I am. I got one little grandson, his name's Paul. I called him 666. My wife said, don't do that to that boy. Yes, I do. When he comes to the house, I'm with him. I do. I take him to the bathroom, make him pull off his britches. And I tear him up. And then I make him tell me why I whipped him. He said, because I disobeyed you. I said, well, what's the other reason? He said, because you love me. And I hug him and kiss him. He's crying and I'm crying, but I don't let him see me crying. And he loved Grandpa. If you don't discipline, you don't love them. Because God disciplines every one of us whom he receives. And gentlemen, it's easy to do, and the key is this. If you're willing to do it. If you're willing to do it. And don't let your wife's emotions influence you from doing the thing that's right. Okay? I'm an emotional being, but I'm not all emotional. But my emotion and your emotion should be subject to our will. I'm willing to do what God would have me to do. I trust that I said something that a blessing to you. Or an encouragement. And you go home and do it. You start right here and purpose by the grace of God. And this comes, I'm going to do that. I might have said something that hit right at you. I don't know anything about you, but I know what God wants. I know what God is doing. I know what God is doing. I miss my folks, my mom and dad both, and the Lord. I still miss him. He's one of my best friends. He prayed for me. I know he did. He only had a half on the side. I used to love to go bald head. Man, that's so much. I know he did. I've seen him again, man. Thank you, brother, for your attention and your coming to be. I trust that you'll pray for me. I don't know how much time I got left, but I know one thing. I want my days to count for God. I believe my best days are yet ahead. Oh, yeah, I really do. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, especially with these men.